You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Today, we are speaking with Mr. Roger Neal, Chief Technology Officer and founder of Maven Link. Maven Link is a leading cloud-based application for project management and resource planning. Today, we will speak about a new study that shines light on the growing services industry and the future of work. Mr. Neal, a pleasure to have you with us today on the program.
Eric, it's great to be with you.
You bet, and certainly is our pleasure. Thanks for taking out a moment to be with us. So can you start by telling us more about Maven Link for our listeners who don't know? What does Maven Link do, and who is it used by?
Sure, absolutely. You know, you hit a lot of the high spots right there. But, you know, we are a software platform that's being used worldwide by services companies that are in the technology services industry, the marketing and PR industry, management consulting, engineering architecture, basically any fee-for-service business can use us to manage just about their whole business, all the way from, you know, opportunity management and getting that opportunity closed up from an estimates perspective, all the way through resourcing that project, managing the project, tracking time, and really accounting for all the key project metrics. And you know, getting a successful close to the delivery.
And Roger, can you tell us about the State of Services Economy report that Maven Link recently released and how it all came together?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we just released for your audience a State of Services Economy report. And, you know, we pulled a lot of data together. And what we wanted to do is get behind what we've been seeing in the marketplace. You know, we speak to services leaders every day within organizations who are either trying to procure our software or who are currently using our software. And, you know, what they've been saying loud and clear is that what used to work has become somewhat inadequate today. And we really wanted to get to the bottom of that and better understand some of the big transformation that's taking place and identify some of the evolution that's going on within the services industry.
Now, in this report, it states that 78.3% of service leaders state business conditions are changing quickly, and 20% of those stated faster than ever before. We all get the sense the world is spinning really fast. Why is this more so in the services industry, and what are the key drivers of change in services?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, if you look at how the services economy has expanded kind of vis-a-vis the manufacturing economy, both worldwide, but, you know, particularly in the U.S., you just see kind of the major growth that's been happening in services. And so when we talk to businesses, you know, they're just chasing opportunities all over the place. And, you know, these businesses tend to be really complex to manage. And as clients are really kind of changing their expectations for services delivery and, you know, really trying to get honed in on the exact needs of their own businesses, the services economy and services providers really have had to change over time. They're starting to work on many kind of smaller, quick engagements rather than, you know, kind of the traditional, you know, Accenture, KPMG, Deloitte, big projects. You know, those are projects that are often very unaffordable for the small and mid-market. So, you know, as we kind of see the ability to procure these services changing, and because the economy has gotten much more global and you have much more choice in the market, you know, we see services businesses really being more competitive and their services kind of having to change as a result.
Quite informative information and most helpful as well. Now, you also say in this same report 85% of service businesses are a majority of project-based work, 89% are trending towards more project-based work. What is the driver here the clients, the speed of work, or a need for more transparency in business models? And how do you balance non-billable time associated with new business in these scenarios?
Yeah, you know, that's super related to your last question. You know, from a driver perspective, you know, it's really all of the above. It is the clients changing their needs. It is the speed of work kind of adjusting really faster. And, you know, there is just kind of in culture in general, but obviously in the services arena, you know, there is a much greater need for transparency. You know, clients used to require because it was a little bit more difficult to engage, or you'd need to get, you know, a referral from, you know, your friend who, or, you know, a colleague who's used the service of business in the past. Now there are so many more avenues to finding people. You know, now it's much more common that the projects are shorter engagements, as I was mentioning before. So, you know, if it was 6 to 12 months before, now it's 6 to 12 weeks. You know, it's really challenging a lot of the operating models for these businesses. So, you know, as we kind of look at those operating models and we kind of tie that together with non-billable versus billable time, you know, a lot of these companies, they'll have these profitable projects, but they'll still, you know, lose money. And, you know, that's typically happening when they have too few employees working on their revenue creating projects, and too many employees working on, you know, internal projects or non-billable time. And, you know, we'll often refer to that as margin leakage within these businesses. So it's, you know, you run all these profitable projects, but then you do some non-billable work, or you've got some bench time, aka, you know, people sitting around not being able to be staffed, and you just leak the margins out the back door. So that's kind of what we're seeing there.
And thanks for sharing more detail there. Today we are joined by Mr. Roger Neal, Chief Technology Officer and founder of MavenLink, a leading cloud-based application for project management and resource planning, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Don't forget, you can follow the show on Twitter at ePodcast Network, and we're also streaming on demand 24/7 on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. Now, continuing on in this report, 85% of respondents in your survey also stated that in the last 12 months, they have expanded to offer an increasing variety of services. More than two-thirds say it's clients asking them to expand in their service offerings. Can you comment on the shift from product-driven economy that offers services to now a services economy that offers products? And how does this complicate services delivery, and what is driving the new clients' demands?
Yeah, it's a great one. You know, one of the things that I think is the nature of any business, but obviously the services business pretty keen as well, is just the notion that it's tough to tell a client no. So when a client asks, you know, does your product do this, or do you have an offering for that, you know, you don't necessarily want to turn away the business, even if it's somewhat outside your kind of area of expertise. So, you know, as we see these projects going, and as we see these projects being shorter in nature and a lot of the things that we've just been discussing, you know, and buyers previously having limited choice in the vendors that they engage with, you know, kind of tying both of those together, innovation has become much quicker. Clients are, you know, you're getting through the 6 week, the 12 week project, and now a client's saying, hey, well, great, let's stay engaged. You know, can you also, you know, you just designed the website for me, can you also build it? And, you know, whereas that firm previously may not have had development expertise, you know, now they're actually having to step into that world or find another, you know, common, you know, complementary service provider that's going to help them deliver on that. So, you know, as we kind of see the highest performers in the industry, are the ones that are able to bob and weave with those client demands, understand the utilization that they've got in their core business, and understand where, you know, clients are starting to demand outside of their traditional service area offerings. And so, you know, then being able to have relationships out in the industry, subcontract, you know, trade work, and you know, really kind of continue to meet the client's needs, is kind of what's happening with that 85%, you know, increase in variety of services.
Now let's talk about the rise of the services supply chain that you cover in the report. 96% of those surveyed said that they are actively seeking new relationships with on-demand workforce such as subcontractors, freelancers, etc. And 36.3% of respondents said they had turned down work last year because of lack of adequate resources. What does the services supply chain mean to you? How is it different, or what analogies are there to the manufacturing supply chain?
Yeah, this is right back to what we were talking about. And, you know, what we really like to talk about, you know, it's both covered in the report as well as, you know, we talk about this particularly in my area of the business in research and development. You know, there's just been a lot of research and a lot of attention paid to manufacturing. You know, if you're Boeing and you're trying to build an airplane as efficiently as possible and compete with Airbus, you know, you've really got to know how that plane's going to come together, how the parts are all going to come together, what parts are complementary, you know, what might require a little bit of additional fabrication and that kind of thing. You know, in the services industry, because it's really had its rise in the last, you know, few decades, and, you know, nobody has really traditionally talked about the services supply chain. You know, it's not as well known. There's kind of little research on the formal management of these services operations, or at least it's not in the hands of all the providers. You know, the big firms, they've all figured it out. You know, they've been spending decades in the industry and have really had to focus on their own internal business. They've had to go public, that kind of thing. But, you know, if you're a 10-person company, 20-person company, even a 300-person design agency, you know, there isn't necessarily a playbook for that. Services are much harder to define than products, and it's also a, you know, pretty broadly used term. So it's pretty hard to just say, oh, you know, this is how you deliver a service. Services can be, you know, very, very different in nature. So, you know, as a result, you know, some common frameworks haven't really emerged yet. You know, a lot of people will just put in front of their clients a master services agreement and statement of work, you know, put their thumb in the air, get the scope, but they're not necessarily honing those offerings over time. And so, you know, as people are really looking to do have more relationships with the on-demand workforce and expand their offerings, as we were just talking about, you know, it's become increasingly important for them to get a better idea of what, you know, a common scope would be for an effort. You know, going back to our example, we've got our website design. Now we need to go develop it. You know, if I'm not a development expert, it might elude me a little bit what the scope of work would be for my clients. So now I need to kind of begin leaning on other subcontractor relationships and their expertise to figure out what that supply chain would look like, you know, from soup to nuts, where we're going to come up with a new brand, we're going to come up with a new website design, and then we're going to go deliver that. You know, to understand that full cycle of delivery that clients are expecting, if we only understand one of the areas, is very difficult. You know, even if we do understand all the areas, it's still pretty difficult.
Another data point in the report touches on the role of hyper-specialization. 35% of respondents said the primary driver for working with on-demand workers is access to specialized skills that the full-time in-house team does not have. Let's talk about hyper-specialization in particular. What does it mean to you, and why are services impacted by this trend?
Yeah, this is right back to the subcontractor phenomenon as well. You know, when we look at these, you know, we've got traditional design agencies and traditional, you know, software development agencies. You know, the design might even be becoming more specialized, where, you know, you have a one agency that does website design, but another agency that does, you know, branding and brand development. So the market is really requiring this depth of skill. You know, traditionally what a business would do is just hire people in kind of all the areas that they need. And they would expect, you know, hyper specialization out of that role. and you know, then it would become a specialized department over time as the business grows. Essentially, what clients have started demanding from the services businesses is that same notion of hyper-specialization, that same notion of, you know, I need you to be a PR expert. I need you to be, you know, a brand development expert. And you might be more of a full-service, you know, marketing firm or marketing and design firm. And, you know, you might not have the absolute specialized skills. So that's really presenting a real dilemma for these providers who already work with fairly slim margins. It's pretty tough to keep specialists on the bench. Because, you know, they might not always be in demand. That goes back to margin leakage. But, you know, they don't want to turn away that good work that demands specialization and, you know, the client's expecting them to deliver on the contract.
And Roger, if you really would be frank with us, tell us why this report even matters. Why is this important to you?
Yeah, you know, if it's not just based on, you know, some of the topics we've covered, if it's not already clear that it's a pretty deep report, you know, we really see and believe that what we're terming the service level economy, is, you know, more a vision for the future of the services industry. You know, it's a pivotal transformation that's happening. And it's really going to propel us into the next era of business, just like, the industrial revolution was propelling us in the 1900s. So, you know, we see, emerging, down the road here and very quickly emerging, just given the speed increase that's going on out there, really highly efficient, scalable global organizations that can really deliver on clients' needs and be able to kind of pivot and move as client demand shift. And, you know, it's really just in its kind of genesis right now. And we're, you know, really excited for the new services economy emerging and also, you know, excited to be a provider of software and services that's going to help them get there.
And finally, Roger, if you would, tell us, what is your vision or view of what the future of services looks like?
Yeah, you know, this is something we talk a lot about internally. You know, what we see is happening is these networks of trusted providers all working together, you know, in harmony. Given their different areas of expertise, it solves a lot of the specialization, hyper-specialization problem that we were just talking about, and the dilemma kind of therein, where you can't keep people around all the time on your payroll, who might only be needed once a year. But if that person who's needed once a year, for you, is out there in the market and able to be tapped into by all the services providers who might need to tap into them, you know, that person's demand now goes through the roof, and, you know, de-risks the payroll and the cost of the underlying services firm that wouldn't want to bring them on a full-time basis. So this notion of a connected network, call it the Uberization of services at some level, where you're just able to tap into this, you know, latent demand, latent supply, for the various resources and for the various, you know, operators and services people out there in the market, really does feel like the future to us. And it's something that, you know, we're going to be doing at MavenLink and helping to empower.
Mr. Neal, it certainly has been our pleasure to have had you, and really appreciate all the information and insight on today's topic on the growing services industry and the future of work. Really appreciate that. Tell our listeners where they can get more information on MavenLink and how they could be in touch.
Yeah, you know, please visit our website, www.mavenlink.com, MAVENLINK. We've got a lot of great white papers that we've published over the years. We've got a great blog that's really talking about a lot of these topics. And, you know, we have some great platform if you're in the services business and looking to increase your margin and utilization of the services you provide. So, you know, I think that's a great start, and we're pretty easy to reach beyond that.
Once again, Mr. Neal, we thank you for your time and for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio, and continued success to you and the company.
Great. Thanks a lot, Eric.
And you're more than welcome. We have been speaking with Mr. Roger Neal, Chief Technology Officer and founder of MavenLink, a leading cloud-based application for project management and resource planning. And for more information, simply visit MavenLink.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your exclusive mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.